SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
My name's Molly Stewart. I'm born and bred on the south coast in Narooma. I'm a Walbunja elder, and I'm a representative for the New South Wales Aboriginal Fishing Rights Group, and I'm also an applicant for the South Coast Native Title Claim.
Now, there has been a landmark class action filed against the state of New South Wales by law firm JGA Sadler on behalf of New South Wales South Coast Native Title claim holders who have been prosecuted for exercising their cultural fishing practices. Can you talk to us a little bit about this as, you know, an elder and your role in the community?
Yeah, so down here on the South Coast, we've been fighting for our fishing rights for probably 30, 40 years. And in the last 10 years, we set up a group called the New South Wales Aboriginal Fishing Rights Group. And we came together and started holding some protests and stand up together fighting for government, because the way we're treated down here on the South Coast is, they've been locking our mob up for fishing and sending people to jail, and really, hammering our mob, and there's a law there that came out in '93, when Eddie Mabo won his native title case, so fisheries had to amend their Fisheries Management Act. All states had to amend their Fisheries Management Act in '93 to accommodate Section 211 of the Native Title Act, which means it gave Aboriginal people a right to hunt and gather and fish. But in New South Wales, fisheries choose to ignore that law, a Commonwealth law that sits on top of the state and police our mob with their state regulations. And New South Wales fisheries never ever implemented it, never ever came to law. So we lobbied in 2021. This culture fishing, and so we got an inquiry, and it came out again that they discriminated against their own law. So they basically discriminated against the Commonwealth Act that gave us the Native Title Act, Section 211, that gave us the right to fish in '93, and then they also frauded Parliament in 2009 when they passed culture fishing and they didn't implement it.
And what impact is this all having on, and, you know, will have on generations to come and throughout the community and for families, obviously, you know, the passing down of culture and knowledge and, you know, fishing on, you know, down on the South Coast, it's, you know, your way of life and, you know, providing food for, you know, your families. How is this impacting, you know, on the community?
Yeah. So it's had massive impacts on our community. So, like, an example is that in the last 10 years, there's been engagements with appliance officers, fisheries appliance officers. They usually bring the police with them as well. And engaging with Aboriginal people. There's over 600 engagements just in the last 10 years down here. And in that engagement with fisheries, they choose to, like I said, they choose to ignore that Commonwealth law that gives us our right. They would engage in it, so when they were engaging with our appliance officers, would charge our mob and still police us under their state regulations, which is a bag limit of two, would go to court and then they would, could end up with a fine or a warning or right down to sent to jail. So the damage they've done to our community, it reaped right through the community. For an example, like, because we couldn't access that food, abalone and lobsters and our resources, it changed our diet and people started to deteriorate. So a lot of Aboriginal people down here on the South Coast know, from heart disease, diabetes and overweight because there was a fair amount of fishing and exercising fishing. So there was no exercise and they were intimidated to go near the water because of every time we turned up there to go fishing or even, you know, just taking our kids out down to the water for a day on the beach. Fisheries would turn up there and embarrass us and, you know, search our cars and, you know, make it out there will be criminals and stuff like that. So, you know, it had a massive impact and it changed our diet and it sent people, even people were getting sent to jail. They were the breadwinners and they used to gather food for their families and also feed our elders. And so when they were going to jails, the family structure was breaking down and, you know, and then they were coming out of jail with mental health issues and, you know, so it was massive impact that it had on our community. And you know, because of them, we were too scared to hand that culture down to teach them our way of life. We nearly severed two generations of our culture fishermen because of the way they treated us.
Mm.
And you know, so the impact of it goes not just the person who gets fined or goes to jail for the thing. It rippled right through the whole community. And the sad thing about it is, you know, at the same time they've done a lot of damage to our water. Like, you know, we go fishing and we might get 5 or 6 kilos of abalone, yet they allow the, you know, the abalone industry to take 100 ton a year, and they say it's sustainable. Our mob have seen them come right in close with their big boats and their air compressors, and you know, rip out 3 or 4 big bags of abalone, and you know, now we've got a native title under claim in New South Wales, and it's been registered since 2017, but. And that claim goes from south of Sydney all the way down to, you know, Victorian border. And there's 450 kilometres of coastline in that. And our claim goes 3 nautical miles out to sea. But along the south coast, we've got sea urchin barons because they've got no competition with that abalone.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're just going in and the sea urchins are just overtaking all our reefs and eating all the kelp. And it's just barren. Because you know, we know it's climate change as well and global warming, but, you know, our mob will tell you when we've done that survey, they've seen all the divers coming in real close to the commercial guys and just ripping these abs out, even dropping them out into deep water so our community couldn't get them because, like, we only dive, our community only jump off the rocks, you know, and dive, and, we, you know, we don't have that big air compressors and, boats, so they've seen. So we've actually seen our reefs depleted, and we reckon, you know, 50% of our reefs along that 450 kilometres of coastline is damaged with sea urchin barrens.
Mm.
So, yeah, it's a massive impact. And when we were looking after this water forever until that fishing industry came along, we had a duty of care to maintain that. So when we fished, we made sure that water was, and then resources were still there and looked after that area. You know, and so that even that passing down of culture, you know, that stopped. And that's like we're sea people. We live on the south coast on the ocean, and our history shows that 80-90% of our food source came from the estuaries and the ocean. And then all of a sudden, you know, this fisheries department comes along and sets up this industry and tells us that no, we own them. You can't take them no more, and starts policing us. And you can obviously see what's happening there, but it's like a real protection racket going on in government to protect this, you know, this abalone industry. And you know, it's not hard to see. And but the point is with that is like they've done a lot of damage. They've just let them, you know, it's not. We don't believe it's sustainable anymore. What they're allowing them to take this 100 ton.
I guess finally, like, where to from here, and what, you know, do you and the community, like, where do you go from here? And especially, you know, with continuing to pass down culture, but, you know, all the things that you've just explained, where to from here for the community?
Well, you know, we're hoping that you know, the class action will you know, get over the line, and it's not about the compensation money or anything like that. It's about you know, making this government accountable. And you know, and we want to work together and build a future. Like everybody's came here and make some money off our country, except us. And we've been made out to be the criminals of our own of our own country, our own waters and land, and we feel like it's happening again. Now, when the abalone industry came along, we should have been part of that equation when they set up down here in the late 70s, early 80s, but we were left out of that equation. And now they've got a sea urchin industry, and the Commonwealth is plowing $55 million over the next 5 years into this sea urchin industry, and they didn't even come and talk to us again about an industry. But for me, you know, we've trained an Aboriginal commercial dive team, and, you know, there is some good people in DPI that we work with, some scientists, and we're learning their science off them, and we've identified, you know, all our fishing sites that are damaged, and so we trained an Aboriginal scientific dive team to go and do some research on this abalone, and these sea urchin barrens, and see if we can fix them water up, because we would love to, you know, be able to, you know, get the government to throw some money into fixing up this water a bit, and us being able to be part of that, because that was our job. We were inherited, that right to look after country, and we haven't had a say in management. So, you know, we have this inquiry with the native title, we can work together and have a say in management, how our country works, like in Queensland and Great Barrier Reef. And now they've got a great relationship with the communities up there, and they employ Aboriginal people to look after the country, and they have it work together. There's nothing wrong with having a look at some of their models and bring them down the south coast and solve some of these problems. Like, if we don't stand up and fight for our rights, our culture's gone forever. We've been doing this for 30, 40,000 years. The evidence is right along the coast. And if we just, you know, lay down and cop that, our way of life is destroyed forever. Like, we've even got courts, you know, the judges bailing our people not to go near the water. Well, that's taken their culture away from them straight away. Now, over the years of all the evidence that we've gathered, we finally think that we have enough evidence to, bring out the truth, basically, where they discriminated against the Native Title Act. You know, and it was all at the expense of Aboriginal people who had to cop the worst end out of it. Mm. So it's damaged all our people along the south coast. Old people are missing out on a low in protein and iodine, and young people who are the breadwinners for them can't get that. So that's been identified. The mental health issues have been identified. And the sad thing about it is some other organisation has to pick it up. Like, they send them to jail. It costs money to keep people in jail. Now, our medical service has to pick up the heart disease, diabetes and overweight. You know, why fisheries just keep throwing all these resources out there to police us and make us look bad, make us look like criminals when they're allowed to take 100 tonne a year. You know, we're disappointed and we know things could be better. And when we talk about closing the gap, I mean, you know, it was only about 5 or 6 years ago that fisheries were probably the only department in New South Wales that didn't employ Aboriginal people. Or if they did, you could count them on one hand, wouldn't you? And then you look at all the other government departments in New South Wales, where, you know, National Parks is a great example, where they've probably got, you know, around 300 Aboriginal people employed, and they work with Aboriginal people. You know, they've got handbacks, joint management, Indigenous land use agreements, and that's because they work together. But fisheries is just this little money-making industry that don't want blackfellas anywhere near it. It's only changed in the last 10 few years because Aboriginal people down here on the south coast have lobbied them and exposed them to some of the things they've been doing, you know, to our people.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on to NITV Radio and having a chat to me about all of this. And, you know, it's really sad what's happened and all the knock-on effects that you've spoken about too, just for the community. So hopefully we can catch up again and get a bit of an update on what's happening. Thank you so much for coming on and chatting to me today.
No problem. Thank you.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.